Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hard, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Oh, Morgan Wallen. We're going to let that breathe for a second.
Oh, is that what we're doing?
You don't like Morgan Wallen?
Never heard of him until he came to Gillette. I didn't know who the guy was.
He is like the most popular modern.
If you're in country, in the country, city. Yeah. If you're in the
but
country.
Bigger than that. He's
he transcends
pop country.
Country.
Oh, yeah. He can sell out like football stadiums anywhere he wants at any time kind of act.
Okay.
Yes, Dan Ball?
Could he be a halftime performer? Is he that big?
I would guess no, because he's got that incident with the word he said.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Got him,
you know,
in a
who
lot
you
of
could
trouble.
Ask, though, is the guest who requested him is the rejoin.
Oh, let's go to the phone lines now to our expert QB guy, Brian Hoyer. You're a Morgan Wallen fan?
Hey, I just went to his concert at Gillette. It was very entertaining, and you're right. He is one of the hottest artists out there right now. I don't know if he's going to be playing the Super Bowl halftime anytime soon, but it was pretty cool to see him walk out with Vrabel the night I was there, and then I thought the walkout with Gronk was epic, you know, slamming the guitar with the Gronk spike. So seemed like it was a pretty good show.
Wow. You went to both shows, Brian?
No, I only went to the first night, but I saw my boy Gronk there the second night, and I loved him doing the Gronk spike of the guitar, which is pretty cool.
Brian, if you like Morgan Wallen and I like Morgan Wallen, let's not let Ted Johnson try to bully us into thinking he's less than he is. He's a great modern act.
It says more about me than the fact that I wouldn't know much about the guy than it says about.
I saw someone reference him as redneck pop music, which kind of makes sense.
Yes, I would agree with that. Brian Hoyer, so week one. We were asking Drake May and Josh McDaniels.
Mac Jones had a good week.
He did. And we're going to get into that at some point, but let's stick to Drake May for now. Week one, too much on his plate, doesn't look comfortable, doesn't look confident. Week two, goes into Miami, tough place to play, gets the win, and has his best game of his young career, look decisive and confident. Which one was an overreaction? Were we overreacting with the bad? Are we overreacting now with the good? Where do you land on that?
I think week one is the overreaction. I mean, look, the reality was, and I said this after the first game, there were a lot of good plays by Drake in that game. He missed the first third down. We talked about it, his feet. I think the one thing that I saw in week two was just his feet underneath him. And it really showed on the play to Mondre that everybody's been talking about. Yeah, it was a great throw, but I think last year in that situation, Drake May would have felt that pressure. Instead of stepping up in the pocket and settling and finding the receiver down the field, he would have taken off and ran. And I think that's improvement right there. I thought his feet were very quiet. I thought Josh McDaniels did a tremendous job of getting him in rhythm early with some of these passes we saw on the move. And I mean, look, give Josh a lot of credit for him running a system he did for a long time. There were some plays, particularly on that first drive, the throwback to Austin Hooper. That's straight out of the Kyle Shanahan West Coast playbook. I ran that in I ran that in Cleveland with Kyle. I ran that in San Francisco with Kyle. And so Josh is adapting his system to suit Drake May's talents. And the reality is Drake feels comfortable throwing on the run. So I think you're going to see that. And the hard part about that is when you're the play caller is if you're not running the ball well, then the defense isn't really always going to honor that. And so they got off to a fast start. They were able to run the ball. The O-line had better blocks in the running game. And then they were able to set some of those play action passes up, which I think really settled Drake in. And then the rest of the game, I mean, he just looks so calm, cool, and collected. You love to see it.
Brian, the game plan I just found interesting. You mentioned that looked like a lot like a Kyle Shanahan, that boot throwback, which was a beautiful play. I love that play. I do. But it felt like there was a lot of other plays that reminded me of, you know, there was a lot of wide zone runs, zone cutbacks.
Yep.
You mentioned the boot throwback. You had the boots, the waggles. You had, you know, the ball was out fast, Brian. I just the game plan, it looked like I was watching the Rams or the 49ers. And I just wonder, do you think that Josh McDaniels will adjust his coaching style, his philosophies to fit the quarterback? Because he was under center a lot more in this game than he was in week one.
Yep.
Do you think Josh will continue down that road or his ego getting away and he'll stick to what he likes to do?
No, not at all. I think the one thing that people make the assumption like, oh, he's not running his offense. He's running his offense. Those plays are in the offense. And Ted, you may remember this. I don't know if you were playing, but they used to send Brady on some of those bootlegs and nakeds and things. And the story that I was told was one day he took a shot to the chin and Bill Belichick said, never again are we running those plays in this offense. So they are in there. And to be honest with you, when I was playing in the preseason or when Mac Jones was playing, we had those in the offense. You just have to make sure you call them against the right defense. I think that's the key. And that's why Kyle Shanahan is so good at it. And Josh is figuring out what teams to run them against and whatnot. I don't think you want to run those against a Max Crosby defensive end. Now you go into Miami with these guys who are roaring off the edge, selling out for to chase the run. Now you can pull that ball. Or the thing that I loved on the one to Hooper was they motioned Hunter Henry from out wide so he'd have the angle to pin that defensive end so Drake could pull up and throw it back. So it all has to tie together, and I think Josh, it's all there for him. It's just a matter of determining what is my quarterback feeling good with, what are the players feeling good with, and what can we expose the opposing defense with. Look, the Steelers are a totally different scheme than the Miami Dolphins, so we will see them expose them in different ways, especially with the injuries that they're dealing with.
Brian, so far it seems like the running backs have proved to be, outside of Drake, the position of strength, the best skill position players on the team. They all kind of contributed on Sunday. Do you think that keeps up that way, or will we possibly see a true wide receiver one on this team emerge?
No, I think the one thing that I always said in playing in the system is the best way to move the ball down the field is throw to the open guy. Who that is, I don't know. The defense has to tell me, especially when you're playing a team that's going to play zone. I loved seeing Diggs kind of sit like on that fourth down play. They put him in motion and he was having that little sit route that we were so familiar with Julian or Dola or Jacoby Myers running. He has a great feel for that. I think you'll start to see him get more of these option routes. I love seeing Mac Hollins get involved. He's gonna be involved because he's in there to help block the down safety in the running game. And so when you do that enough, you're gonna bluff the block on the safety, and you're gonna go out, and that's where the boot touchdown came from. Yeah. So there's a lot of different ways to get these guys involved, and the reality is we don't have a Jamar Chase. Stephon Diggs is pretty good, but I don't think he's gonna be, you know, using him in the way that the Bengals use Chase or the way that the Vikings use Justin Jefferson. They're going to use it to expose defenses where they see fit. And I thought the best thing about Drake was he was just thrown to the open guy. You mentioned it, Ted, getting the ball out quick, reading the coverage, getting in a rhythm, feeling comfortable. And I just thought from week one to week two, the settling of his feet in the pocket allowed him to be so accurate. And the one thing I think, too, he did a good job of realizing and feeling the pocket and when to run and when not to run. And I thought that was awesome. The one where he kind of scooted up through the middle, he stepped up, he felt the seas part, and he took off and ran. And so it didn't feel like he looked like he was limiting himself to scrambling. It was just he was letting the defense tell him when it's time to go.
Former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer here with us on WEEI Afternoons. Brian, you just mentioned Diggs and some of those routes kind of underneath and some of the things we saw Amendola or Edelman do. Is he evolving into that slot guy in Josh's system? And are we seeing maybe Pop Douglas phased out? A lot of us thought that might be Pop Douglas's role, but could that end up being what Steph Diggs grows into?
I think there's a common misconception of what that slot role is in the system. And we saw two different slot receivers play at the same time when Amendola and Edelman were playing together. Jacoby Myers was totally different than those two. Yep. Wes Welker was different than a lot of them. In the slot receiver, and the thing that you got to understand is when they do these personnel groupings, everybody's going to get a chance to play that slot receiver role, because one of the beauties of this system is that you can move guys around and you can put them in advantageous looks. So I think what I saw there is just trusting a veteran guy on an option route to make the right decision. And because on that route, you could sit, you can go across, you can come back out. And I felt like Diggs was so decisive. He sat down in the zone. Drake felt it, got him the ball quickly and moved on. And look, converting that fourth down is what leads to that opening touchdown. So I think you're seeing a veteran receiver take on a role of maybe some of those option routes. That doesn't mean that Pop's not going to be in there to run some of those outbreaking routes, maybe some of those crosses. It's just a different way to use a skill set and a trust with a veteran receiver in Diggs.
I always learn something new listening to B. Hoyer. If you want to learn something about football, you'll listen to these hits. Brian, I was looking at your tweet. So you want to find Brian Hoyer on Twitter. It's at B. Hoyer 7 on Twitter. And I'm curious, you said this in your tweet. You said, I love the empowerment of the players. You can see how the guys respond. Big foundational piece laid yesterday, meaning the Sunday game, battling through the adversity to get the win in Miami, which we all know has been hard to do over the years. What do you think that win in Miami does for this team, what it meant for this team, when it comes to all aspects, the quarterback, the franchise, and the new head coach?
Yeah, I love the way that Vrabel, you know, he gets the game ball from RKK, and he's thankful for it, but he says it's all about the players. And I think when you do that, your players realize he's going to credit us and he's going to hold us accountable. And I think going down there and struggling through the heat and, you know, getting an early lead, losing it, punt return for a touchdown, then you respond with a kickoff, like all that back and forth. And I think Vrabel talked about it. Like, we got in a street fight a little bit and our guys didn't back down. You almost gain more of an understanding of who you are as a team, as opposed to just going down there and winning by two touchdowns. I think sometimes winning those grimy, dirty wins, especially in a place where it's been hard for the Patriots to win over the years, I have to imagine they feel pretty good about themselves because they won and they know there's a lot of things they can clean up. So that flight back from Miami was a little sweeter, having gone through the adversity and coming out on top.
All right. Well, it can't be all wine and roses. There was a little adversity out there the first week and the second week as well. The defense has had their issues. Obviously, the return of Christian Gonzalez will make a massive difference. Depending on when he comes back, we're not really sure. But the linebacker play seems to be a little bit of a concern right now. How do you think that gets adjusted, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, look, they've missed a few tackles. That's not what those guys are known for. And look, the touchdown to Achan, I mean, that's not the position you want to put Robert Splane in. With 53 yards of field, they're playing two-man, and he's got it. He can't give up the inside leverage, but that's not – he's not a cover linebacker. He's a Mike linebacker in base defense that's going to go and hit players downhill. And so he's a little bit out of position there. I think knowing Spill and having played with him, he's going to get that figured out. I think the one thing that I think will help them a lot is getting Christian Gonzalez back, right? That'll shut down some of these explosive plays they've given up. And let's be honest, Miami Dolphins, they're reeling a little bit, but they still have explosive players when it comes to Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill and Achan, and they were able to hit some of those plays. And I think the one thing that you'd love to see is through all the adversity, when it came down to it, and now luckily Achan stepped out of bounds, so it gave him that opportunity. But the guy you paid all that money to in the offseason, over there, Milton Williams comes up with a big-time sack to seal the game. I mean, that's what those are the steps that you have to take, those guys who you want to be your leaders, to step up and make those plays in a big-time moment.
Brian, how's your right arm feeling?
My arm's great. If I take one hit, I'd crumple like a paper bag.
I mean, starters are dropping like flies. Are you getting any phone calls?
Carson Wentz is
man. I'm too far gone, but it's interesting because I talked about that on SiriusXM Radio today. We were just talking about, you know, all these quarterbacks getting hurt. And Ted, you might remember this from your times playing here, but Bill used to say availability is sometimes greater than your ability, because it doesn't matter how good you are if you can't stay out on the field. And I think these quarterbacks have to understand, and I hope this goes along with our young quarterback as well, that having the ability to stay out there is one of the greatest skills you can have. We saw it with Tom Brady for all those years. That's one of the best things you can do, is stay healthy and be out there for your team. And so, look, I hope Drake is learning from past experience. I'm learning from the guys around the league, because Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy, when did they get hurt? When they scrambled. So you got to be smart. You don't want to take the aggressiveness away. The one thing that Drake has going for him is he's a little bit bigger than those guys. So you always got to be conscious of that and make sure you protect yourself out there.
All right, Brian, we appreciate the insight. As Ted said, man, I feel like we learn something every time we talk to you. So we look forward to talking to you next Tuesday.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brian. Hopefully another victory.
Brian.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Brian Hoyer, who took heat unnecessarily from the midday show for his range of win prediction.
Well, it was kind of a topic in the NBC Sports newsroom, too.
Oh, really? He took heat there as well?
Yeah, yeah. Well, people are getting a chuckle out of the 8 to 11 wins thing.
Okay.
You know, so there's a lot of folks in the media snickering behind 8 to 11. Brian, come on.
Okay, predictions are useless anyway, so he did it in a different way than the rest of us screw up our predictions. Guess what? He's probably going to be right. I bet you he lands somewhere in that range.
It's not going to be that hard to be wrong.
I'm actually taking notes, because you know me, I like to be right. Yeah. So if Brian Hoyer ends...
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money?
Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
What's up, right? Maybe I'll start doing ranges for everything in the future. Appreciate Brian Hoyer joining us. We'll break down something that I thought he said that was very interesting about the receiver position, the slot receiver position, what we're looking for, what we're going to get out of that. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.